I know that you recently visited Iraq. Could you kind of give us some insight as to what the day-to-day activities are like? You know, how do people go shopping? How do people have electricity? How do people function?
Well, actually, the situation in Iraq is horrendous and extremely bad, and the people there are suffering in all kind of ways. And like, for example, just recently, people are just who live almost half a mile from the two main rivers in Iraq, the Euphrates and Tigris, and they're saying, "Look, we live only half a mile away from these rivers we used to have our waters from, and we don't even have water to drink. There is no water to drink. There is no electricity. There is no security. There is a complete desperation in the Iraqi public. The silent majority, basically, through the media, that they're not really what they want, what they think, what's happening to them is not shown the way that it should be shown through the truth. Is what is shown in the media is something that represents a minority of the Iraqi people, basically, and the ruling group that has been put in power by the Americans. And basically a lot of what's going on is a show about the election. It's a show just to give legitimacy for the occupation and the crimes in Iraq. But the silent majority of the Iraqis who are fed up, who really don't really care about what's happening with the elections or not elections, Bush wins or loses the so-called elections in the U.S., all they care about is they don't have access to any daily life things that keep them going, from water to security to work to food to you
basically
name it.
Anything.
Nothing.
About the elections.
You know, this terror is a daily way of life for them. So it's amazing how this theater of the elections being put together while almost 70% of a city as big as Calgary has been completely destroyed. Fallujah. The crimes are happening every day. You know, the rape of women, the torture of women in the jails in Iraq, from Abu Ghraib and others, to the execution of people, to the drowning of people in the rivers. It's just amazing. So that is how the situation is there in the streets.
Oh my gosh. You were talking about the elections, and I know one of today's top news stories is the announced capture of a senior aide to leading militant Abu Musab al-Zarqawi hours after Zarqawi claimed responsibility for a suicide car bombing near the offices of Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, or I should say the unelected Prime Minister. He's accused of masterminding some of Iraq's worst car bombings, and the government announced that he has admitted to over 75% of the car bombings that occurred in March of 2003. Now, a lot of people view the announcement as a way to boost the government's popularity ahead of Sunday's elections. What do you think about that?
Actually, it's true. A lot of things are happening now. It's a circus that is happening, just the same circus we see in the elections in the U.S. or in Canada or many of these places where we see a democracy that is supposed to be a democracy while the media really runs the show, and all kind of stories come during the election times, and all of a sudden things happen in Iraq that boost Bush's popularity. The same tricks, the same minds that work behind that circus is working now in the circus in Iraq. So, you know, get the Musab al-Zarqawi, this Hollywood figure that we have right there. He's arrested. His aide has been arrested, as if all the resistance of the Iraqi people in Iraq is represented by one person with a group of his aides. This is utterly untrue. When I was in Iraq, I interviewed the Iraqi resistance, the real Iraqi resistance, and the Iraqi resistance were carrying most of the operations, and whether it's the civils, by the way, peaceful resistance through people who average Iraqis who are not carrying arms but do support the resistance, provide support to the resistance, and try to support through many ways, through, you know, covering the crimes of the Americans and their aides in Iraq, through investigative journalism, or you name it. They deny any connections to the bombings, for example, of the mosques or the churches. These are happening by different forces, whether they're supported by the CIA or the Mossad, or funded or whatever, or not, or came from Afghanistan or came with the occupation itself, it does not represent the Iraqi resistance. There is something called the Iraqi resistance that is actually attacking American soldiers and the occupation, their interests and their collaborators. But the rest of the violence has nothing to do with them. So, you know, this is an aid. This is a thing that's been, this is, it will help Alawi in his elections, will help the current so-called government to make this as a formal thing. But if we really look at the Iraqi elections, this is the situation. None of the groups or the parties that are participating in this theater have put in their agenda of the election or their program that they will demand immediate withdrawal of the American troops. None of them is demanding the reversal of all the privatization of the Iraqi economy. It's 100% privatization that was carried by Bremer and the Americans. So basically, the Iraqi economy is completely under control of the occupying forces. The military is going to still be there. They run the show. They pass the rules. They veto any changes of the laws that happen. None of these groups that are running the election is demanding putting the occupation forces, you know, crimes against humanity or war crimes or whatever happened in Abu Ghraib, the daily slaughter, the usage of illegal weapons, the destruction of a whole country, the theft of the Iraqi money, the Iraqi oil. There's millions and millions of dollars, if not billions, missing from revenues of the oil. None of these parties is basically demanding anything that is of that matters to Iraqi people, anything that challenges the occupation. It's just all fluff and rhetoric of, yes, we will have happiness, we'll have equality, we'll have freedom, we'll have whatever, but there is nothing of material value, nothing that says, for example, all these contracts and agreements with the American companies or any laws that are passed before the occupation will be void or will be reversed, that we as the Iraqi people will decide what's privatized, what's not, what's nationalized, where these contracts go to. So basically, if you look at it, there is absolute no change in reality. There is just a game and a fantasy that's happening on television, just like the transfer of so-called sovereignty or the appointed forces that were put by Bremer for the temporary governing council. And the Iraqi people know exactly all these details. They understand these details. They're not fooled by this theater. And there's less than 2% of the Iraqi population that really have any trust or belief in the current Iraqi government or the elections.
Speaking of the elections, it's widely assumed that it's going to be very difficult for a majority of Sunnis to take part. And many Sunni leaders have called for an election boycott, saying attacks from groups such as Zarqawi will prevent voting and skew the outcome in favor of the Shiites. Why is it difficult for a majority of the Sunnis to take part in the elections, and wouldn't this undermine the credibility of the elections?
Okay, now, people in Iraq don't like to talk about things in Shia and Sunni. This is only the media outside that is forcing this kind of things, but it's leading to that. Now, there are 70 groups and parties that are boycotting the elections, at least 70, the last I heard of since December. I know it's more now. And these groups are not only Sunni. Almost 100% or let's say 90-something percent, 95% of the Sunnis will boycott the elections. There are many Shia groups that are boycotting the election. All Muqtada Sadr and his followers are boycotting the election. Sheikh Baghdadi, Hassan al-Baghdadi followers, who is a big cleric, is boycotting the election. Abdul Khalisi is boycotting another cleric election. Al-Husseini, many Shia groups. There are Christian groups also and parties that are boycotting the elections. There are religious tribal assemblies also that have met together in December. And the representatives went to Beirut, Cairo, and Amman to talk about why they're boycotting the elections and telling people that, this is the story why we're boycotting the elections. So it's a big collection of people. Not all Shia are voting. There is a big community of the Shia is boycotting the election because they understand that this is a legitimization of the theft of Iraq, legitimization of the crimes that have happened to Iraqis by the occupation, It's giving it, a cover, basically, so it's a tool to be used for in the future in America's ventures and further rape of the Middle East and the rest of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So people understand that. And I was just reading one of the newspapers with many declarations from groups in Iraq saying boycott the elections. And the caricature that they have is basically the election box, and what's written in the election box is the occupation. And the ballot itself is the map of Iraq, and it's saying you're basically giving Iraq to the occupation in the election box. This is what you're doing, minimizing that.
So basically, no matter what you are, whether you're Sunni, whether you're Shiite, if you're Iraqi, you're not supporting the elections. You're not supporting the puppet government.
Yes, if you're Iraqi who cares about the interests of Iraq, who doesn't want Iraq to be divided on ethnic lines, who doesn't want to legitimize the occupation and crimes in Iraq, then regardless of your background, and there are many Kurdish groups, by the way, also boycotting the election, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Sunni, whatever, boycott the election. But what's happening with the Shia scene in the south, with so many Shia groups coming from Iran or sitting with the occupation, like Al-Hakim and Al-Jafari and Bahr al-Ulum and so on, all these are actually Irani nationals who still have Iranian passports and papers that they travel with. And the recent thing that probably you've heard about, that they will allow almost 150,000 Israeli Jewish Israeli Iraqis inside of Israel to vote in the Iraqi election. There's almost 1 million Iranians who are in Iran who say they're originally Iraqis are voting in the election. So you get Israelis voting in the Iraqi elections. You'll get Iranians voting in the Iraqi elections. Of course, the Israelis will vote for the best benefit of Israel.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Iranians will vote for the best in Iran. But the silent majority of Iraqis, don't have a say in the elections. You cannot have a political party that will run the election that is not approved by the Americans, against the occupation. Or the Israeli Iraqis who are saying, and we saw them being interviewed in Arabic channels, that they were Iraqis, and we're so glad that Iraq is free, and we miss our homeland, and so on. They want to vote in this election. I would ask them, would they allow the Palestinian refugees to even go back to their home in Palestine? You guys want to go back to their homes in Iraq, or even vote in Palestine or Israel or whatever, or even be allowed a state. So whatever really is being put through by the American agenda for the Middle East, for the oil of the Arab world, is being carried on through different tools. If the UN, we can use the UN, we'll use the UN. We'll starve this in Iraq for almost 13 years until we weaken the whole infrastructure and the whole population. Then we go with our military forces and have our militarization there and our bases there. And we use the UN when we want. Now they will use the UN again. Come give us some of the legitimacy. And this is how they want to use Canada, actually, as well. Canadian reputation of peacekeeping and being neutral. So when we need them, we'll bring them in. When we don't need them, we'll get them out. I was just reading an article about a group of medical doctors that is actually going around with American forces and getting body parts from the dead Iraqi bodies in Fallujah and other areas, saving kidneys and eyes and so on, and sending them to the United States to sell them as parts. This is how sick, everything in Iraq is being sold. Even the bodies of the dead are being used through the under the organization of the military. As some kind of trade that is taking place, the whole thing is being covered. It was covered by some European reporters and some European secret service that was there and saw this happening all the time. Jeez. And this report was leaked. So Iraqis, and I just received also a call from friends from Amman, from Jordan, who are Iraqis there. Almost 150 artists or refugees there, and they're talking about the election. They have the same understanding of this of the election process. And there's less than 1%. The BBC was saying today that less than 1% of Iraqis who are outside of Iraq have registered for the election.
I wanted to talk to you about that. I know that there's a large Iraqi community in Canada, and how much support is there for the elections and the interim government? Like, how many people in Canada, Iraqi Canadians, are going to be participating in the abroad voting? And how is the community divided?
I can't give you exact numbers, but it's the same argument. We have parts of the Iraqi community, and I believe it's the majority who wants to boycott the elections, who understand that it's all a gimmick. And there is a minority, there's a group of people who want to vote and who want to participate in the election because it's the desperation of the Iraqis. The Americans create disasters and then give people some hope of something, and they use their desperation. You know, they put a vicious dictator like Saddam Hussein who slaughtered the people left, right, and center, and they give him all the weapons he needs. And then when they come and say, look, bad guy, we're good. Well, and yeah, some people say, come get rid us of Saddam Hussein, even if you bomb us. There was a desperate Iraqi people who had enough of the viciousness of Saddam Hussein, and they used their desperation. Now they're doing the same thing. Hey, guys, you want some elections like us in the West? You want to be free after this dictator? Do this. Yeah, yeah, sure, let's go try it, man. One, in the first time in 50 years we have elections. But the act, it's such a sick process that actually they're using any hope that these people have. And all what we're looking at is a very short time frame. Like, okay, the elections, let's say, in a month or next week, depends how it's going to go. Within a year, we'll see if anything will be delivered for the Iraqi people. There isn't a penny that's being spent on infrastructure, on water, on electricity. There is no security. The United Nations is afraid to get in there. You know, how many people are going there? They consider all of Iraq as one electoral unit. This is a joke. This is a huge country. Smaller countries have almost 400 electoral areas divided into electoral. How many observers are there? They're going to bring these boxes for voting from outside around the world, bring it down to Jordan to be counted in Jordan. They should be counted where the votes are happening. There even, you know, there's groups that are threatening people. There's like blackmail, death squads, offering people money and so on to vote for certain parties. It's happening all over Iraq.